If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Jonah. I would like to read from Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. We've just sung the song, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. And I pray that God will help us to always, when we come into the house of God, that we will always remember why we are here. We have met to worship God. In the singing of songs and in prayer, and in the study of God's holy word. In Jonah chapter 1, now I'd like to read from Jonah chapter 1, I'd like to read the first 10 verses. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. I encourage you to look at God's holy word as I read. Pray that God will bless us as we study the word of God, that we might learn from God's holy word. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege that we have to come together to worship Thee tonight. We thank You, Lord, for all the people who are here. We thank You for every member and every friend of the church, and we pray that Thou would help us that we might feel the warmth of Thy love and Thy presence with us. Lord, we're thankful that though one day we're going home to be with Thee in that eternal heaven, where we shall be with Thee forever, we're thankful that in Your mercy and Your grace that You come down and You dwell with us here while we're still here on this earth. We're thankful that we can feel Thy presence with us tonight, and we pray that Thou would help us that we might, all the days of our lives, that we might be able to feel close to Thee, that we might feel that, as we sing sometimes, what a friend we have in Jesus. Help us to be able to feel the presence of God and know that Jesus is with us. Help us, Lord, to walk in a way that would honor and glorify Thee. Help us to walk in the light as Thou art in the light, knowing that then we will have fellowship with Thee and with Thy people. Bless us now and bless all of Thy people the world over. Bless every congregation as they're assembled together. And again, bless us tomorrow night as we gather at the Waycross Middle School Auditorium. We pray that You would fill us with Thy Spirit. Help us to be able to worship Thee, and pray that You would help us to honor Thee in every way. Again, now bless us in this hour. Teach us from Thy holy word. We pray in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Reading now from Jonah chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. The word of God says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. They said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Correctly read, that's Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. There are three times in this passage of Scripture that the Word of God specifically says that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was running away from God. Jonah was afraid to do what God had called him to do. This morning we tried to look at the fact that God has given every one of us different kinds of works. Now, some of us have the same kinds of works. I think that God's children all have some similar works that we're all supposed to do. But God has given all of us different works also. He hasn't called all of us to do exactly the same thing. But whatever God has called you to do and whatever God has called me to do, whatever my work is, I need to do the work that God has given me to do. And I need to finish the work that God has given me to do. Now, God called on Jonah to do a particular task, to do a particular work. God told Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh and go and preach to that city. But Jonah arose, and the Word of God says that he, and notice verse 3. Verse 3 says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Again, there are two other times in these 10 verses that the Bible talks about Jonah fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Have you ever tried to run away from God? Have you ever tried to run away from God? You might not think that you have, but I think that if God would open our eyes, I think that there are many times that the Spirit of God moves us, or we know that God's Word tells us to do something, but we want to run away from doing what God is telling us to do. I think that oftentimes ministers, pastors, run away from doing what God's calling and telling them to do. I'm not talking about just preaching, but I'm talking about when God calls His ministers to preach the whole counsel of God's Word, to preach everything that's in the Word of God. And there are many times that men who are called of God, they're like Jonah was right here, they're afraid to preach the whole counsel of God's Word. Now, Jonah was afraid to do what God told him to do, and Jonah got in great trouble because he thought he could flee from the presence of the Lord. In fact, that's what he told all the other people that were on that ship. The Word of God says that he told them, he says, I have tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. You think Jonah learned something in this attempt to flee from the Lord? You think Jonah learned he could not flee from the Lord? And you think Jonah also learned that when God gives us a work to do and tells us to do something, though we may be afraid to do what God is telling us to do, if we'll just go forward and do what God tells us to do, the consequences, though they may be difficult, the consequences will be much less severe than if we try to run from the presence of the Lord. If we try to run away from anything God is telling us to do, every child of God has works and things that God has called them to do, but if you run from anything that God tells you to do, you're headed for trouble. And again, there are many things in the Word of God that God has told all of us to do. For example, God's Word teaches that we're to tithe. And someone told me this past week that another member said, you know, I just can't tithe right now. I have a lot of difficulties financially. Let me tell you something, brethren. You will continue to have difficulties and you will get worse in your financial situation if you don't do what God tells you to do first. And everything else that God tells us to do in His Word, if we run from that, if we fail to do that, we're going to end up in the same kind of trouble that Jonah did right here. He fled. He thought he fled. Now, did he really flee? Did Jonah really flee from the presence of the Lord? Was there a place that Jonah could run to and hide from God? Sometimes when I'm playing with my grandchildren, sometimes they'll get up under my desk and they'll hide their head up in the corner and they think they're hid because they can't see me. They think they're hid. And yet the rest of their body is clean. clear to see, and you can certainly tell exactly where they are. And I'll sometimes say, "Where are you? Where are you?" And yet, the whole time I know where they are. In fact, if I didn't know where they are, now God's different than me. And sometimes I do lose my children, but God never loses one of His children. And God's children never hide, but what God knows exactly where they are. You go back all the way back to the beginning of this world. You go back to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit. Do you remember what they tried to do when they knew they had sinned, and they knew that they were naked before God, and they knew that God saw them in their nakedness? The Word of God says that they went and they hid from the presence of the Lord. They tried to hide from God. You can turn out lights. You can go to other cities. You can get in places that you think nobody else knows what you're doing. But you cannot hide from the presence of the Lord. God's Word teaches that I'm to keep my eyes pure. I'm to put a watch upon my eyes. I'm not to let my eyes look at something that's contrary to what God would have me to look at. And if I do look at something, God knows what I'm looking at. And God tells me where to go and where not to go. And I may not let any of you know when I'm doing something wrong, but I cannot hide from God. And you cannot hide from God. No matter what you're doing, nobody else may know. And you may hide something from everybody else in the church and everyone in your family. You may go somewhere and do something that nobody in this community knows that you're doing. But you cannot hide from God. And the things that we do in secret, God's going to bring them to light. The things that we do that are wrong, God will judge us openly before men. God will expose all the secret sins that we have, all the things that we're doing in trying to run from doing what's right in the sight of God and trying to not do what God's telling us to do. When we run, we cannot hide, and we have not gotten away from God. Jonah tried it. Adam and Eve tried it. And all through the Bible, you read about people who were trying to run and hide. And they were hiding from some people, but they've never hid from God. Go with me in your Bibles to Psalm. Please turn in your Bibles. We're going to spend most of tonight in Psalm 139. And I think it's very important that you look at God's Word. And I would encourage you to go home and read and study the Word of God here in Psalm 139. I would encourage you not only to personally study it, but I would encourage you to teach your family. Spend every night this week just looking at Psalm 139. There's no way, listen brethren, sometimes people say, "Well, I go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night." You can't get what you need just by coming to church Sunday morning and Sunday night. It takes a daily feeding and studying on the Word of God. If you want to stay close to God, if you don't want to be like Jonah was and Adam and Eve were, if you don't want to end up running from God, you've got to stay in the Word of God every day. You've got to strive to stay close to God, or else you'll eventually try to run away from God. By the way, what is it that causes you to try to run away from God? Sin. Every time. That's what causes us to try to run from the presence of the Lord. Look at in your Bibles now at Psalm 139. Please, look in your Bibles at Psalm 139. Here's what David said. You think David thought he had hid from God? Oh, yes, he thought he had hid from God. If you had asked David the day before he sinned with Bathsheba, if you had asked David, "Is there any way you can hide from God?" David would have told you, "You cannot hide from God." If you had asked David, "Is there anything you can do in secret that God doesn't know about?" David would have told you, "Oh no, I can't do anything that God doesn't know about." But listen, brethren, when you begin to get away from God and you're not busy doing the work that God's called you to do, and that's the reason David was in the trouble he was in, is because he was not doing the work he was supposed to do. The Bible says it was time for the kings to be in battle. David was not in battle. David was not where he ought to be. And that's what led to him being where he much more worse than where he had been just by not going to battle. David learned you can't hide from God. You can't run away from God. In fact, you'll end up in worse trouble when you start trying to run and hide from God. Psalm 139, listen now to verse 1. Here's what David records here in Psalm 139. He says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Oh, sometimes we sing that song, Search me, O God. Oh, listen, brethren, He does search us. He does know us. But I think sometimes we sing that song without realizing and thinking what we're saying. Search me, O God, and know if there's any wicked thought in me. Well, that's what God does. He knows all about our thoughts. God didn't just see David commit that sin with Bathsheba. God didn't just see David looking at Bathsheba. God knew every thought in the heart and the mind of David. Every thought. He knows your thoughts. He knows your thoughts right now. You know, I see people sometimes sitting in church with their eyes doing like this. And they're looking at me, you know. Just, that's right, preacher. That's right. You can't. Listen, what a silly thing it is. You can't even fool the preacher. You sure can't fool God. You can't hide anything from God. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. In verse 2 he says, Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God doesn't just know what I thought today and yesterday. God knows my thoughts next week. God knows every thought I'm ever going to have. Every thought that's ever going to be in my head. God's Word says here, Thou knowest my thought afar off. Now that's knowledge too great for me and you to understand and comprehend, isn't it? Thou knowest my thought afar off. He says, Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. He's acquainted. Is He acquainted with all the good things you do? When you do things in secret, is He acquainted with that? When you're doing the works that please Him, is He acquainted with that? Knows all about that? Yes. And that's the reason Jesus taught us that when you do things that would honor and glorify God, you're to do them in secret because your Father which... What's the next three words? Your Father which what? Seeth in secret. That's the key right here. Your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's true of any good things we do, but it's also true of any evil that we do. God seeth in secret, and He will reward us openly. So He says in verse 4, For there is not a word in my tongue. Now what's He been talking about in verses 1, 2, and 3? He's been talking about, well, my thoughts. God knows all about my thoughts. And He knows about me sitting down and getting up and laying down and all the things that I do. He knows all of my ways. And then in verse 4 He says, And there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Every word that ever comes out of this mouth, God knows all about it. Now those are frightening truths when you realize how much God knows about you. Verse 5, He says, Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Verse 7, He says, Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? Now what did Job say over there? He said, I was trying to flee. These are the exact words that Job used. Flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, was that a strange thing? You think that was the first time Jonah, excuse me, I said somebody else. I don't know who I said, but I said Jonah is the one. Jonah was trying to flee from the presence of the Lord, wasn't he? Now, you think Jonah was the first man that tried to flee from the presence of the Lord? No. You think it was just Jonah and maybe Adam? Were they the only two or three? Is it a rare thing for God's people to try to flee from the presence of the Lord? It's a common thing. It's something that happens in the lives of all of God's children, is that we, whether we realize it or not, whether we know it or not, we try to flee from the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you what probably has happened to you tonight. Is there anybody here that has thought about somebody else when I've been trying to preach about people that try to run away from God. Is anybody here tonight that have been thinking about somebody else that maybe you think that they have been trying to run away from God? Well, what I want to encourage you to do is stop looking around, thinking about other people, but I want you to examine your own self and say, now how have I tried to run away from the Lord? What have I tried to run? How have I run from the presence of the Lord? What has God told me to do that I have run from? What particular thing, what particular work has God put in His Word that I'm supposed to be doing that I am not doing? If there's anything God tells me to do in His Word or by His Spirit that I am not doing, I'm running from the presence of the Lord just as much as Jonah tried to run from the presence of the Lord. Verse 7, he asked this question now, verse 8. Verse 7, he says, where am I going to flee from thy presence? Verse 8, he says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. You think David, you know, I know this is the inspired word of God. I understand that. You think David was just sitting there and the Spirit was just telling him to write all these things? Or do you think it was coming right out of his heart? He knew by experience. If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. You see it all. And by the way, He doesn't just see what we do. He's going to judge everything we do. The thoughts we have, the idle words, the places we go, the things we listen to, the things that we look at. I'm accountable to God for everything. The things He tells me to do that I don't do, I'm accountable to God for that. Sins of omission, sins of commission. Oh, wretched man. You know what Paul said there in Romans 7, he didn't say, oh, wretched man, I used to be. Listen, brethren, the Apostle Paul was a born-again child of God, serving God as an apostle of Jesus Christ when he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Do you feel that way tonight? That God has told you, called you, told you to do things and not to do things, and you've run from the presence of the Lord? Did Jonah get in trouble because he tried to flee from the presence of the Lord? Did Adam get in trouble because he tried to run from the presence of the Lord? Did David get in trouble because he tried to flee from the presence of the Lord? Will you and I get in trouble if we try to run from God? You know what we all need to stop doing right now? We need to stop running from God, and every one of us needs to fall on our face and say, God, forgive me for any way in my life that I've run from You. Forgive me for anything You've told me to do. Forgive me for anything You've called on me to do. Forgive me for anything You've taught me in Your Word to do, and I haven't done it. I beg You, Lord, to forgive me from running from what You've told me to do. Forgive me for trying to flee from Thy presence. Did you know God's speaking to me and you tonight? God's speaking to me and to you. And we better stop trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. Listen to verse 12. We're still in Psalm 139, verse 12. Here's what David says there. He says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. You think about that. The darkness hideth not from thee. He explains it this way. He says, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Now, they're different to me. Did you know that? Is there a difference to you in darkness and light? Well, I might get in the dark. I might... You know, why do you think they have bars so dimly lit? Why do you think all these different clubs, why are they so dimly lit? It's because it makes people... They give them just enough light to see a little bit. You don't see all the imperfections in all those people that are there, but you just have enough light to get around in there. Listen, brethren, that darkness doesn't affect God. He sees. You can get in totally black places where you can't see a thing. Oh, it doesn't make any difference to God. Light and darkness are just alike to God. You cannot hide from the Lord. I think David was a much wiser man when he wrote this psalm than when he sinned with Bathsheba, don't you? I think he learned and understood by his experience the truth that you cannot hide from God. That prodigal son, do any of you have an idea about why the prodigal son left his father's house? Why do you think the prodigal son left his father's house, when he began to go out and waste his father's goods in riotous living. Why do you think he left his father's house? You just take a natural child and a natural father. What if your child was going to do something that was ungodly? What would you expect them to do? How big do they have to get before they, when they start to do something that's wrong? Do they have to be grown before they try to hide from you when they're doing something that's wrong? Some of you that have children less than 10 years old, have you seen them try to hide something from you, and you seem to catch them and find them and know that they're doing what's wrong? They need to learn. It's serious to try to hide something from you, but we need to learn it's serious to hide or think we're hiding anything from God. I can't say enough to you right now about pornography. Let me just tell you, I just got to mention this again. I heard a statistic last week that 78% of sites that are hit on the internet, 78% of those are for pornography. Now that's astounding to me. And any of you that have a computer that you can get on that computer and you can go to ungodly sites, you're opening your heart, your mind, and your soul up for the devil to march right in and eat you up. And if you've got televisions where your children can look at ungodly things on television, you're opening your mind, your heart, your home, and your life to ungodliness in your home. That will destroy your family. Pornography will lead to sexual immorality. Pornography will destroy your life. And you may hide it from your wife, or you may hide it from your parents, or you may hide it from your husband, but you can't hide it from God. May God help us to stop going in the wrong direction. Was God merciful to Jonah? Was God merciful to Jonah? And see, Jonah tried to flee from the presence of the Lord, and God came and God brought judgment in his life. And did you know Jonah went to hell? Jonah went to hell. Jonah didn't die and go to hell, but Jonah went to hell. Because he says in Jonah chapter 2, he says, "From the belly of hell cried I." Did you know you, as a child of God, you'll go to hell if you don't change when you're doing things that are running from the presence of the Lord? You'll go to hell. And hell is a horrible thing. Sometimes people will say, wait a minute. You talk about hell here on this earth, aren't you? Listen, brethren, you need to hear the message God's Word says. God says, don't fear men, but fear Him who is able to cast both body and soul into hell. That's what God's Word says. Now, did Jesus jump up and down and say, wait a minute, I want to be sure you understand what I'm talking about? He was sure that they understood. They better fear hell. You and I better fear hell. Hell's something to be afraid of. God is the one to fear, because God's the only one that can put you in hell. But God will put you in hell and put me in hell if we run from the presence of the Lord. If we run from anything God's telling us to do, or anything God tells us not to do, but we go ahead and do it, we're running from the presence of the Lord. We'll end up in hell. So what's the alternative to running from God? What's the opposite of running from God? Say it again, Brother James.
Running to God.
Run to God. Run to Him. Run to Him. Isn't it a wonderful thing we can do that? To flee to God. Flee from this world. Flee fornication. Flee ungodliness. All those are scriptural terms. We need to flee those things. Don't flee from the presence of the Lord. Flee the world and run to God. Here's what James says, and I'll close with this one verse of Scripture. James, by inspiration of God, says, draw nigh to God. Don't run from God. What's he say? Draw nigh to God. He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What will God do when you clean your hands and purify your hearts, and instead of running from God, you turn to the Lord? Oh, the Scripture says, let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. Isn't it wonderful what our God will do? When we realize we've been running from the presence of the Lord, just like Jonah had been running from the presence of the Lord, God put him in that hell. When that whale vomited Jonah up on dry ground, the word of the Lord came to Jonah again and said, "Arise and go to Nineveh." And the Bible says he arose and went to Nineveh. I don't want to go through hell before I do what God's telling me to do. May God help all of us as His children tonight to hear the word of the Lord and to not flee from the presence of the Lord and do what the word of the Lord says every day is my prayer for Christ's sake.